I'm Marco Werman, and this is The World. We've seen Capitol Hill drag its heels on lots of lawmaking, but sometimes it can move pretty quickly. Today, less than a week since the Paris attacks, the House of Representatives voted to tighten restrictions on Syrian refugees coming into the country. President Obama is expected to veto the bill if it reaches his desk. The House vote directly follows what happened in Paris, where a Syrian passport was found near the body of one of the gunmen. That's raised fears that extremists could try to sneak into the U.S., posing as refugees. Americans are deeply divided on this issue. In a few minutes, we'll hear about one case where refugees did, in fact, turn out to be supporting extremism. But first, let's go to Indiana, where a Syrian refugee family was hoping to resettle. Instead, they're now in Connecticut. That's after Indiana Governor Mike Pence ordered a halt to the resettlement of Syrian refugees in his state. Carlene Miller is with Exodus Refugee Immigration. That's a group that was working to resettle that family in Indiana.
They fled Syria in 2011 and registered with the United Nations and were granted refugee status. And then they started the process with the U.S. in 2012. So they've been in the screening and vetting process for 3 years. We received their information a few months ago and accepted them as a case to come to Indianapolis, and then got a heads up a few weeks ago that they would be arriving yesterday.
And what happened in Indiana?
Well, on Monday, our governor made the decision to attempt to block refugee resettlement of Syrians in Indianapolis. And Tuesday morning, I received word from the state that the governor had instructed them to tell us to cease Syrian resettlement and that they would not be able to provide services to them. It was, you know, the first Syrian case to come into the U.S. after the governors had started making these statements. And so we weren't really sure what would happen to this family. And there was a lot of interest in this family from media, et cetera. And we were really concerned that this family needed to get the services they needed and not be caught up as a political football in this situation, as they were, you know, coming here as refugees and had been traveling for 48 hours to get to the U.S. And so we made the decision to have them transferred to one of our network offices in Connecticut, who we knew would be able to welcome them the way that refugees should be welcomed.
So this family had been thoroughly screened, you say, and vetted. Why was Indiana Governor Mike Pence still concerned?
You know, I think that he is operating on misinformation and a knee-jerk reaction to not understanding the very thorough screening process that we have in place in the resettlement program for all refugees coming into the country. Refugees are the most screened people that arrive in our country, definitely more screened than tourists. And they go through extensive background checks before arriving. They even have a face-to-face interview with Homeland Security before they get to the U.S. This is, you know, parents with a small child who are fleeing for their lives. And as a country, this is what we are about. And this family needed to be received with open arms.
Yeah. How does this make you feel that they haven't been received with open arms in Indiana?
You know, I am really disheartened by this. This is very painful for us in the resettlement community, and we're also really angry. And we, you know, want to stand up to the governors, and this is not actually constitutional for them to do this. Refugees are admitted into the U.S., and they can go to any state that they want to. I believe that they were very well received in Connecticut, and I do believe if they had come here, they would have been well received by Hoosiers. The folks in Indiana have flooded our email and our phones with calls of support for refugees and for Syrian refugees in particular, and people wanting to give Syrian refugees a place to live and friendship and support. So I know that if they had come here, Indiana would have welcomed them like they welcome the 893 other refugees that we resettle each year.
Carlene Miller, Executive Director for Exodus Refugee Immigration. Thank you very much, Carlene.
Thank you.
There have not been many cases of refugees turned into extremists once here in the U.S., extremely rare from a statistical point of view. But there was one case a few years back. It involved two Iraqi refugees named Wad Ramadan Alwan and Mohammed Sharif Hamadi. They were resettled in Bowling Green, Kentucky, back in 2009. By 2011, they were in trouble with the law. Lisa Autry covered the case for WKU Public Radio in Bowling Green.
They basically plotted to send weapons and cash to Al-Qaeda in Iraq to support the insurgency there. And these were high-powered sniper rifles, Stinger missiles. And the money and weapons really, though, never made it to Iraq. The scheme was foiled by an FBI informant. And so they were arrested in 2011, were scheduled to go to trial, but both pleaded guilty. One was sentenced to life, the other to 40 years.
So it sounds, as you're saying, they were planning to take military hardware back to Iraq to kill Americans there. That's what the indictment suggests, but not to stage attacks here. Am I stating that accurately?
Right. None of their plots were ever intended in the U.S. They were trying to do all of this back home in Iraq.
Were they connected to any extremist organization, or were they kind of freelancing this?
They had both been involved in insurgent attacks in Iraq before coming to Bowling Green in 2009 as refugees. Alwan's fingerprints were found on an IED in Iraq back in 2005, which helped seal the case.
Given that connection to those attacks, what happened to the vetting process?
In the wake of the Kentucky case, the U.S. halted the refugee program for Iraqis for 6 months. I think some changes were made here on the local level, but as we speak, the vetting process is continuing. And of course, we've welcomed many more refugees from all over the world to Bowling Green, which is a town of about 61,000 people. We recently heard that during this fiscal year, October 1st through September 30th of next year, Bowling Green has been cleared to receive about 400 refugees, and 100 of them will be Iraqis.
You said the population of Bowling Green, about 60,000?
Yeah, so you can imagine the disbelief, the shock in hearing that, you know, someone's neighbors were involved in such an elaborate plot.
Is there a large refugee community in that population?
We do. We have a pretty large refugee population, a lot of Bosnians and Burmese, Somali. So we have a pretty large immigrant population to be a town of our size.
Right. So let's put this in the current context of things. In the wake of the Paris bombings, the Kentucky Senator Rand Paul has come out against taking in Syrian refugees. Fellow Kentuckians, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has also called for a pause and even pointed to the case of Hamadi and Alwan to say that he, quote, doesn't feel particularly comforted by the assertion that our government can vet these refugees. But for everyday folks in Bowling Green, is this on their minds right now?
I think it probably is. We harbored two dangerous people from Iraq who wanted to cause harm to American forces in Iraq. And just for that reason alone, I think a lot of people have raised eyebrows around here about the possibility of bringing in Syrian refugees. And we've learned this week that as of right now, there are no plans to bring in Syrian refugees to Bowling Green. Bowling Green is a little more wary, I believe, than other towns who maybe don't have the type of experience that we had.
And what about the majority of refugees in Bowling Green, the good apples? How did they feel when this case happened?
They were just as shocked as anyone else. It was hard to believe that anyone like that could be among us. It's very much a small sort of Mayberry-type community. They felt that a couple of bad apples gave the wrong impression of the international community here.
And do they have concerns today that that wrong impression may be kind of falling on them once again?
We've heard that just anecdotally from a few, that they hate what the Paris terrorist attacks have done as far as creating that national, international discussion about bringing in refugees who have the best intentions, have the intentions of seeking just a safe haven and starting a new life for them and their families.
Reporter Lisa Autry at public radio station WKU in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Thanks for telling us about this.
Thank you.